Monday, July 20th, 2026, Board of Equalization at 9 a.m., Board of Commissioners at 3 p.m.
All right, call the order of the Board of Equalization to stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Start roll call.
Brian?
Present.
Rick?
Present.
Jeff?
Here. Make motion to excuse Commissioner Hohenstein.
I'll second it.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Brian?
Sure. And Riley will be here shortly.
I would guess, yeah.
Current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. The Dakota County Board of Equalization reserves the right to adjust the order of items on the agenda if necessary. Number one, 9-04, protest hearings. Board to review property valuation protest by considering all paper relating to the protest and the findings and recommendations of the referee and may make the order recommendations by the referee or any other order and judgments of the Board of Equalization required by finding of the referee, or may hear additional testimony or may set aside such findings in hearings and protest anew. 77-1502.01. Okay.
Number 60 first,
Brian, do you want to have Bart?
Oh, yeah. Bart, you want to come up?
Can't see my bifocals either. I guess I don't know. I guess what did they recommend, or I guess it limits my what I need to argue for.
Well, in 25, you had a $1,263,260, and in 26, they got you at $1,562,620. It looks like the referee recommends $1,273,670.
That's pretty close to what I recommended. I just wanted to make sure, like, I think they adjusted the age, because I think on the sheet it always said 1991.
Yeah, it was wrong. Yeah.
And that was the third building that Kincaid had built back. Well, I just got to town. So, but anyhow, that was the third building that they had built, and so had the wrong age on those. The other ones were mid-1970s, so.
Right. And we fixed the land.
What?
Fixed the land.
And,
matched the survey.
Okay. And, you know, I mean, the other thing is some obsolescence, evidently, because the rental or vacancies are higher. Looks like I'm going to have to make some concessions. I've been trying to make some concessions to get it leased out, but like you say, we're about 40% leased out, and it sounds like we're going to lose the accounting firm that's going to be moving into that new building with Curry Huff. Not Curry Huff. That would have made Sandy mad. Jack Eric and the new lady. So I can live with that. $1,273,000.
So it looks like the assessor's got it.
I don't have it right.
You don't have it right?
No.
Okay.
No, I agree with Josh.
Okay.
We talked about it, so we're good.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Yep.
All right.
Have a good day.
Yep, you too.
I'm sure this is a fun job. I'm sure you guys all volunteered with it.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
See you later. Thanks, Mark.
Cool. Okay.
Do you want to skip to 24?
I don't know if it's skipped.
I don't know. I'm not sure if it's in there. It's Terry Hobie Brunkins.
Trying to get my mouse to work.
Yeah, we might have to go to the previous.
So you did adjust his down?
Just to what it is. We'll give him a year. He hasn't turned in a survey yet.
Okay,
if he doesn't get it in within the year, then it goes back to what we said.
So we're going to go with the 6360? If I'm on the right line.
I don't think you're on the right
line. No, I'm not on the right line.
408.
It's probably not on there.
Oh, don't that in
it. The land would go to that.
163.
For the land.
So what's the total then?
We'll add it up here.
210,730.
10,975. 163.
384,705.
I don't know if it's on.
Which is
384,705.
So the problem here, I'm sorry, Rick,
go ahead. Sam.
I didn't mean to interrupt. The problem here is that if it transfers tomorrow, I mean, the land will be
wrong.
It will be whatever it is on the record because that's the last deed. That's the legal description, that's the size of the land. You know, because they transferred without a survey, so we don't really know exactly how big the parcel is. There's not a really defined legal description except for the old one before the split happened. So this is a constant problem with these transfers without surveys when they're split. It's kicking the can down the road for a problem for the next owner or for us. And this is not the first time that we've heard this one. I think it's 2018.
It was 18. He came in with the same thing.
Same
he never
thing.
Did a survey. So.
But so if it gets surveyed, then it will be
correct.
And then it's correct on the record. If it ever gets transferred, it's correct. And then there's no dispute about the size of the land. With commercial land being so expensive, it matters.
Well, don't hold your breath.
He came in the other day and said something about having it done, but nothing's been filed, and I don't think he can get it done
fast.
That. Yeah, I don't think he can get it done that fast.
No, it'd take a while. Okay, we'll just go with the 384,705 then.
Mm-hmm.
Nelson Engineering, Jim Nelson. I think Josh No changed it. His number's different than mine. But
just,
I think
yeah,
Josh
it went down
wrong.
Just a little.
It's not. He didn't. I think he transposed a number. It should be 486. He no changed it. We'll get him to fix it because he wrote no change.
This must be the office building on Dakota Avenue.
No. 21st Street. What's 21st?
Oh, 21st Street. Yeah, that's where they were.
We heard it last time. And then he came in for a hearing.
He said he didn't. It didn't show up for his hearing, and then it was the wrong day, and then, he ended up.
So why does it have a different address than 21st Street?
720 was 21st.
That's his mail.
Okay.
That's his mail.
Okay.
Well, that's a lot of money for that building, if it's the one I'm thinking it is.
$159,000 for just the building.
What's that?
$159,000 for the building.
Okay.
It's the land. He has over an acre. He has almost an acre and a half.
Zoned commercial.
And he's Highway 77.
And he's Highway 77 corridor.
Okay, 77.
No, you don't want to be on 77, do you? So you want to leave it at the 486?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, number 18. This is Rural Res. This is 490 Gulf Road. It's a manufactured house of 2.8 acres. It's 1994, 1,500 square foot. It's got like a detached garage that's kind of rough and a shed that's kind of rough. He submitted a lease. He's renting it out. It was for his son. The son ended up not living there, but I looked it over. I felt like this, if you could show, Sheree, if you could go down one more picture to the, or yeah, to that garage. Not that one, the next one, sorry. That one. The one on the left. I felt it was kind of overvalued, so I added some depreciation. That's the only change I made. That's the reduction.
That's on Gulf Road.
Mm-hmm. It's actually, you can't see it from the road though. It's behind. It's kind of behind everything. He must have an easement to access it, but it's further to the south. It's behind all of this stuff on Gulf Road, and then south of everything. I didn't know it was there either.
What else is out there? I don't know about.
We could pull up the map, but it's. I mean, it is.
Run back up and let me see some other.
The manufactured house is not bad. I mean, it's for a 90s manufactured home. It's actually pretty decent. He did have it on the market. That was the other thing. In 2023, I did find an old. He had it listed for sale, and then he ended up leasing it. But his, he had it on the market for $250,000 in 2023. I found an old. Listing for it in August of 23, it was on the market for $250,000. I mean, right now,
so that's back in that old King's Edition back in there. It's there's a group of trailers that are back,
yeah, it's
there.
Way behind all of that stuff.
It's fine, yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's south of everything, and there must be an easement.
That's
that
Tim Johnston's there. Old place.
So that one, all I did make a small adjustment on the outbuildings, but I didn't feel like the assessed value was out of line in any sense, especially when I found. I mean, you didn't tell me about the 2023 listing for $250,000, and I'm not saying a listing is definitive because it's not. And that's he's setting it out there on the market. It doesn't sell. It didn't sell in like a month, and then he ended up leasing it to the lease he gave us. Which I felt like he leased it for too low money. Like he's kind of.
Isn't he the one that said the basement? There wasn't a basement in
here. There's a basement.
There is. Yeah.
He said there was a crawl space, and Sam's like.
Then I put on the old MLS listing. It
showed a basement.
It showed a basement. Yeah. So.
Hey, get dry.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
210.
Yeah.
Yep.
Would I give 210 for it? No. Not in the location, but somebody would.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, this is Betty Garwood. This is a piece she split off. It's what's that?
Radiant Power
Edition. She said she just sold it to the city.
We
don't have the sale yet.
We just got it.
Yeah, we just got it. So it isn't in our sales study or anything. So is 60,
that was the sale price.
That's the sale price. So the $60,360 is the sale price. We left it commercial because that's what that is out there, is commercial in that. It's like three lots.
So just go with the $60,000.
That's what she said she sold it for.
Okay.
33. And we changed. 38 acres. This has the greenhouse on it. We had it as commercial. We did an adjustment on it.
Took it to 308.
Yeah.
So basically, she got two records. Now she has a commercial record and
an
ag
record. We left the greenhouse commercial. She thought it was personal property. Greenhouses are not personal property. So we left the greenhouse alone, and we changed it. We left where the greenhouse was as commercial and the rest ag.
No, she should be happy with the 308.
Oh, she won't be.
No.
She probably won't. Yeah. 34, we did an adjustment from previous admin. Property was commercial. We changed this one back to ag. Highest and best use.
160.
Yep, the 160 is an ag value.
Same way for 35.
Yep. That's an ag value.
Commercial ag.
Yep.
Okay.
Looks good.
Oh, this is John Kane. 42. Let's see which one this is.
Oh, nice house.
Yeah. Yeah, this is commercial. He said it has, we have it in the Highway 77 corridor because that's where it is. He says, well, it doesn't have access. It's still on Highway 77. He still has the notability of 77, so that's why it's so high. I think the 42 is his building, his main building, and 43 is the extra ground he bought. He just built a building on 43.
The new one up on top of the bank?
Yep. But yeah, 42 is the office and the big shed.
So did you take into consideration that he's got that big drainage ditch going through there? There's a chunk of ground in there that they can't do anything with.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably 100 foot wide. It's got a big drainage ditch going through there. Is that west end drainage? I don't know if you can trim it down because of that, because there is some ground in there. There's probably, I bet you running through his whole, those two parcels, the new one and that one there, is probably 3 acres.
The whole parcel's 3 acres.
Both parcels?
No, the main one where his
building is. Yeah, well, I'm talking about the new,
other one's
the
only 10,000 square feet.
Well, I used to farm both of those, and there again, I don't know if the acres are right, because I know on that one parcel there was almost 4 acres in there where they piled all the dirt.
And he just purchased that.
Yeah, I bought that from Graves's. Or not Graves's, Mahon's.
Yeah, Mahon's the one the protest said he couldn't sell it. Every year.
That 77 corridor deal, is there anything, you know, it don't seem right that just because they're attached to that 77 corridor that we're jumping their taxes up because of it.
It's the most expensive ground we have in the county.
Yeah, well, there's, you know, there's access, and then there's, it's low, and it floods, and, you know, we got all kinds of issues down in there. South Street gets a heavy rain, and that's the first place everything runs. I just think it's a little high myself, but
it doesn't seem to be affecting our sales. That's the only problem we have. The sales aren't lower because of it.
Because the Walgreens just sold.
Yeah, we're not even at their sales price.
It's already low. With that shine.
Yeah, but you're talking Walgreens. They're right on the bypass. They've got really good access. Kano.
But they're off of 77, too.
Yeah, I don't dispute that, but what I'm disputing is John Kane has no access unless he goes back up in and around by Cubby Care and that way to get back there. It's not really good access, either.
But he doesn't have a walk-in business, either.
He
need the access.
Right on
77. I mean, he's got the notarized bit, you know.
Yeah,
he can have the billboards and the signs and, you know, all the stuff there, too.
All right, I think that it's
now, but
that corridor,
I do
that 77 corridor. You know, you got Walmart and them, and you know the access for Walmart and that.
Yep.
You know the access for that for Walgreens and the rest of them up 21st Street. This one here doesn't have near the access that those does. And yeah, big deal on the billboards, but I think it's high.
I don't know. Like I said, the only thing that I think I would agree with you, if they have some drainage, some ground that there that's unusable or something,
yeah,
then maybe some. I would consider an adjustment on that.
Yeah, there's
sure.
A concrete culvert going through there that they can't do anything on top of. And it's, there's probably, that easement's got to be, there's got to be an easement through there, Jeff. So.
Did they, did he offer any?
Nope. No.
Nothing, just?
A chat GPT letter.
Hmm.
If, I guess if they can't offer more too, that's becomes a little bit difficult.
Yeah.
To, you know, if he had some good reasons behind it, other than just he don't want to pay it.
Yeah.
Just want to pay it.
A lot of things I don't want to pay.
Well, don't, yeah. Pay. I mean, you know, yeah. Like I said, provide some information or some studies or something. You know, some sort of
information. Yep.
Well, you guys want to stay at the 1,080?
I guess I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, I don't either. Just buy yourself for that.
And then 43, you said he added building, so I mean that's kind of
a building too.
I'm good with the 171.
Yep.
875.
Oh, this is a converted church they made into apartments.
Yeah. Where's it at?
East 21st.
Well,
right by, I think it's right by the school.
Right by Covington.
Yep.
Yeah, right across the street.
Yep. It's an old church.
It's old.
Yeah, he lowered it. Josh lowered it to 390,705. Yeah, he based it on the income he got from the owner.
I'd go 390.
How long has that been an apartment, though?
How long has it been there?
Yeah, it's been a while.
As long as I've been a cop, so over 26 yeah. years.
It's built in the 50s.
I've been there. My friends have lived there.
That's.
Yeah, it's right on the corner.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's six apartments in there.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the mobile home park in Dakota City. Josh verified rents with the owner. We actually, Josh tried to call him when he did the review on it way back when for commercial and didn't get an answer from him. And so he estimated it at $300 for rent. Actually, a little higher. So actually, we're pretty good.
The 622.80.
Yeah, 622.80. So, yeah. So technically, yeah, we're low. Because I think the rent was
375,
and we had 300, so he did pretty good without talking to him. So, yeah, actually we're a little low, so we left him at 622.
Okay.
No paperwork. So this is a piece of ground in Homer that the Village of Homer has, and they lease part of it to Dwayne Barkley, and we're only charging them for the piece they rent to Dwayne. So I guess I don't know what they want. We know changed it because we're only charging them for the piece that they rent. But the rest of it's exempt because it's owned by the town.
And just one little caveat there is that, yeah, once if it doesn't matter who owns it, if they lease it and are making money, they're just like everybody else. They are taxable. Like if a church becomes an apartment or whatever, or if a dump becomes a... You know, lease parcel. It's just taxable like everybody else. It's not. There's no. Just because the city owns it doesn't mean because the city's making money, then everybody gets to tax it at that point.
Just is this one out by their shed?
Yeah.
It's out by okay. Their yeah. shed.
So Bullocks have that now.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah. I don't know. Barclays were leasing it, so yeah. So we're only charging them for what they lease out.
Yep.
Oh, this is the apartments. This is Arter's. We have a pending Turk case
oh, let's see, pending Turk appeal in 24 and 25. Yeah, we haven't got an answer yet on it. So we know changed it.
Leave it.
Yep. But you did go down to that, right? Before the Turk?
We yeah, have we already had it last year.
We just don't have the
we
answer.
Don't have an answer.
It seems like the Turk is not, they are not in a hurry to give us an answer. We've got the tennis court, we got multiple other properties that don't
answer. We haven't had answers on in years.
Three years, I think, on the tennis facility.
Yep.
Oh. I could wait 3 years to make a decision on my job.
So do we need to write him a letter or something to Turk?
They won't
or
do it again.
They won't do it again. Yeah. 3 years.
It's causing other problems too because
they just stack up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then if we had an answer, we would know what to do.
What to do? Because we don't care either way. We'll just do it
out there next.
Yeah, and they're approaching.
So is Turk that buried?
Yeah.
Lancaster and Douglas take a lot of their time.
But again, if they've heard the case, they should be able to.
You would think they do it at least within, you know, 6 months. Like Melissa said, I don't know. They must have to listen to the recordings because I don't know how they.
How you keep track, how you remember anything you heard. Right. 57 is
SPT Ventures. It's a strip mall right down from Walgreens. It's currently on the market.
Oh, yeah. It was on the market.
Is it off?
He took it off.
It's the old FSA office.
Currently, there's a dog groomer on one side and
a barbershop.
DS.
Yeah,
I
think you're right.
Yeah, we don't know what DS is. We're not sure.
He had a contract, a land contract, for this one last year for $435,000. That deal
fell through.
The buyer did not fulfill the contract, so
he got it back. So Josh put it at 416,160.
And I think the listing was right, I think it was 418 or something.
Yeah,
it was right in there.
Yeah, just leave it.
I'd leave it 416.
Yeah.
It went down for 25.
Oh, next one's the tennis facility. Still in Turk. So we now changed it until we hear.
Leave it.
Yeah. We'll be here again next year. No change.
In Sulan Bank, we took care of that already.
Uh-huh. Yep. 61 and 62. 61 is the daycare, the cubby care. 61 is actually the empty lot. I think there's a shed and a fence on it. Mm-hmm. And we're at 194,460.
I bet they fell out of their chair when they seen that.
She protests every year.
Well, from 32 to 194,460. That's a.
And then the daycare, let's see, what did he do? 352,530. He lowered it a little bit.
So what was the big jump on that empty lot?
Land.
It's just like land value. Yeah.
Same deal.
Yeah.
So the moral of the story is don't buy anything near 77.
Yeah.
And he did lower the daycare based on after an inspection. He said they had some water leaks.
Yeah.
We think that came over a portion of the building.
Could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She said it flooded their one room or something.
So he did lower it based on that.
Okay.
Some other damage.
And the other issue with the land here is that it seems like over the years, commercial got a little bit overlooked with their values weren't increasing as much as res. And then, like, res is kind of shouldering the burden then for the, you know, for the tax base. And now, you know, with commercial being increased kind of closer to market, it's now the burden.
It looks horrible, but it's.
Yeah, it's more.
It
like
went
it's
up
more,
a lot at one time. Is the problem.
But res has gone up like crazy amounts in the last yeah. 5 years. Mm-hmm. But the commercial values they've increased too, but not on the assessment side as much until, you know, until recently. But it just seemed like res was shouldering the burden for the tax base, and then now it's more fair because. You know, the commercial properties are so much more valuable than the residential properties in general. So, 63 is Chad Ball, 414 6th Avenue, South Sioux City. This is a small rental property that the owner owns. It's 624 square feet. It's behind his personal residence. He's a little upset that, you know, the value went up. He felt it should be the same. And then, you know, the alley, he has to maintain the alley. The access to this property is the alley between, I think it's between 4th and 5th Street mm-hmm. there. But it's a gravel alley that he maintained. There are just a lot of sales of tiny houses. Christy gave 315 West 20th Street. It's 576 square feet. It sold for $89,000. 208 East 13th Street. It's 669 square feet. It sold for $105,000. I mean, the small houses are just worth about $100,000, roughly.
It's the trendy thing to do right now.
The whole market is increasing, so even the small stuff gets up there too. And yeah, is it hard to imagine that a 600 square foot house is $89,000? It is, but we have like 5 examples of that in the market.
So I just looked for a house for my son, and it was 674 square feet, and it was $170,000. That is ridiculous. He didn't get a house.
And to a house rentable. I mean, not even destroyed.
Yeah,
we're
rent.
Not talking about destroyed
yeah.
or beat up. Or I mean, this one, you know, it's been tenant occupied for several years, and I went through it 2 years ago, and it was. You know, kind of like a lot of rental houses, it's not great, it's not awful, and
typical rental.
It's a typical, yeah, kind of a typical rental. They have kind of a certain look and feel to them, but I just did not see any movement there. At $89,000, I thought was fair to, you know, him and the rest of the taxpayers. 64 is this is Chad Ball. This is his personal
where
residence.
He actually lives.
Yeah, it's next door. It's on the corner. And it's
sorry, those are comps.
He claims this is like in the, on the protest form. He wrote this is stupid. The constant increasing of value. The issue here is his garage got hit by a tree. You know, it happened in June, though, is there? And there's a pending insurance. That tree, you can see right there, that tree
hit the
garage.
Corner.
Go out and take some pictures. The back third of the garage has some damage to it, like the soffit and the gutter and the roof. It's just, you know, if you go strictly by the law, January 1st is the assessment date. You know, I know everyone in this room except for me is elected, so I, you know, I'm okay if you disagree with me, but the garage, you know, since it happened after January 1st, I just felt like I had to rule it against the taxpayer on this one, because the assessments are set January 1st. If it happened, you know, December 31st, then I would have. I did make an adjustment for the garage, but then since it happened in June, I just ruined it. So I no changed this one.
It'll come off in 27.
Unless he fixes it first.
In the meantime.
Because there's a form to fill out for that kind
property.
Of stuff.
But
yeah.
It has to be a to be like percent. 70%. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, so it isn't, yeah,
okay.
It doesn't cover
this
out.
Is going to be, you know, $5,000 to $10,000 of damage, roughly. You know, even if he did the whole roof and, you know, some of the back, it's the back right corner as you're looking at it from that picture. But, you know, I guess that's a judgment call that, you know, the board will have to make there. But that's what I saw. In, I did go out there. I did see the guys even working on the tree when I was there. But.
We could just leave it alone for 3 years.
Yep, just like turf.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right.
Yeah, Steve.
Getting, it's an increase, but it isn't.
It's not, horrible, horrible.
66 is the motorcycle place on West 29th.
Ninth.
Yeah. He's very nice. Greg Chiquin. He didn't want a hearing or anything. No data. He didn't provide any info. We're at 446.065.
Yeah, and I don't think he'd have trouble getting that out of it.
Does he use his motorcycle anymore?
I think he, I don't know if he uses it just for personal use.
Yeah, it's just his personal use.
Yeah. He's very nice. Very nice man. He's a nice guy. He's very, very nice.
Yeah.
67 is Carol Butch Muff, 408 South Fork Place. This one, okay, it's a big ranch. It's, you know, it's a gorgeous house. 2,163 square feet. He has a pool, three-car garage. He does back to the golf course. And I spoke to him on the phone, and he's got some of the interior. Like, if you're looking at the outside pictures like I was, I mean, the house is, like, the brickwork is fantastic. It's got
shake shingles.
I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's very nice.
Very nice, well-built, quality home. The inside is dated... he's getting older. It's partially gutted. He's not as fast as he used to be, is what he told me, on, you know, repairing things. But you know, he's got some of the old brass fixtures. A lot of it's original inside from the 90s when he built it. It's got wallpaper. He has the maroon toilets and sinks, which if you see those, that screams the 90s in real estate. You know, I asked him, I go, if you're me and you're like, would you say the outside looks better than the inside? And he said, you know, it really does. He said the outside. I kind of felt like the assessment was correct if you're just looking at the outside. He has a bathroom torn up. That's another part of the condition. You know, he has all the pieces for it, but he just hasn't gotten around to repairing it. I felt that in the present condition it's in, and this was honestly, Butch being, in, you know, he's getting up there in age, but he was the closest of any. He got the closest to calling the right number, I guess. When I made the change and then re-equalized the number, he wanted 512. When I equalized, it was 513.980. So
you went 513.890.
Based on condition, so I lowered the condition based on the interior condition of the property.
Go with that.
Yeah.
Well. Again, that's kind of what this process is for.
Yeah,
I mean, this is the
good
use of the process. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
68 and 69 is Butch as well, Supreme Wood Products. Let's see what they do on this one. I know change this one. This is his actual truck shop where he has his trucking company out of.
Mm-hmm. I heard that... And this could be all rumor. I heard CDA's buying it.
Nobody's told us.
And I heard that it was like $2 million.
Oh, geez, Louisa.
I
can't imagine Butch not working though.
Yeah, he'll still truck and whatever, but
I don't know. And then 69. This one we've actually found out is combined with the other piece, so that's why it's a zero value because it's already in with his.
Oh,
other,
it's in with.
It's with the other piece.
Oh,
so we just made. Yeah, we'll just get rid of it.
Okay.
Good.
So the 69,200
yeah.
Mu
covers both. Yep.
Okay.
Oh, 71 is. Oh, it's a shed. And he said he's not equalized with his neighbors. He is. I checked all the neighbors around him that were commercial. And if he's not commercial, he's never said he isn't. But he is equalized with everybody.
Where's that at? 614 West 25th Street.
It's on 26th.
Wow. It's on 26th Street?
Yep.
Looks like a hoarder to me.
Yeah,
his wife did that to him. She hauled stuff in there and just.
Yeah, and if he's not commercial, I don't know what he is, but that's what he's listed as.
I know where he's at now.
And I checked, he's equalized with all of his other commercial properties, and he's over by Jagger's, I think.
Doesn't he have a welding shop in there?
Didn't.
Or did someone do something like that?
Don't know him.
72, or I'm sorry, are we done?
Yeah, I'm good.
72 is William Rader. This is 10 Street, South Sioux. It's a 902 square foot rental house. That's it right there. It has a two-car, old block garage behind it, like a cinder block type garage. She submitted the worst competitive market analysis I've ever seen in my entire life, and that's kind of saying something. It was awful. There was one of the comps was actually the house across the street that has the roof that has multiple colors.
Over here that has multiple colors, right next to Dorsey's place over here.
I have no idea
why they used that as a comp. There's tons of comps in South Sioux.
Anyhow, I disregarded competitive market analysis for that reason.
So you actually reduced it?
I did reduce this one, and the reason is that front porch right there. So see that okay, the windows were rotting out of the front porch there, and she had to repair it. There's no building permit or anything, so it's really hard to go in kind of blind like that. The last review called it living space. They called it like another room in the house.
And it's just a porch.
It's just a porch. That's the reason for the change.
Could just go with 141,999,910. Is that right?
Yeah.
140,910. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
She's getting $700 a month according to her. But right. It's a one bed, one bath with the garage. But 73, this is Rager again. This is next door. It's 1022 B Street, South Sioux City. This is a 576 square foot rental house, one bed, one bath. This one is a disaster inside. It's tenant occupied. The tenants can barely care for themselves. She showed me some interior photos that she did not want to submit. If that tells you the condition of the house, it would be almost impossible to walk through this house. It was kind of like that garage we just saw. Maybe some paths to kind of walk through, and then the floor coverings were a mess. She claimed it was the property is unsafe.
But she has people.
But we still collect rent.
She is still collecting rent, $550 a month every month. The owner or the tenant's in poor health is the problem. They can't care for themselves. They can't care for their property. We see this all the time.
Yeah, just go with the 77.
I did lower it. Based on the condition, it was a mess. I think it would take thousands to clear it out.
She had to be happy with that.
Big dumpster.
74 is Kevin Roost. I think he's another. Yeah, same as other areas at other building on West 26. It's equalized. We went through it. They're all treated the same out there. If he's not commercial, then they need to come in and say something. But that's how we have it listed.
85.
Okay.
Oh, 75 and 76 is Cherry Ridge. Is it no change? Yeah, it's a no change from Josh and me.
They did not file low income.
They're not low income.
Well, they are.
But they didn't file.
They don't file.
Yeah. The same issue as last year, no?
Yeah.
Why won't they file?
They said they filed.
Are they afraid that it will lower the property value?
No, but they filed this year, which is technically
for next year's
value, and I think they're mixing confused. Them up.
Yeah.
What they filed was not for this value, it was for next year's value.
Because then you go off the income. I'm good.
Yeah.
Those. What is 76? That just must be some empty lot. Empty?
No, I think it's the other part of their building, isn't it?
It's not very, not very much.
And maybe it's the office.
Ah, okay.
Clubhouse.
Yeah. 77 is, this is 1532 Lake Avenue, South Sioux. This is a sale from last year. This one, one of the most interesting ones of the protest period. The purchase was $280,000. This is a 1 acre, you know, 900 square foot house with a finished basement. She submitted, it's like, I don't even know how many pages, 60 or 70 pages of data. this one, you know, I really struggled with just, it's over 50 pages of evidence. She gave a cost approach based on insurance values. She gave repair quotes for condition. The comps were not terribly comparable.
Some comps are duplexes.
I had one that was a manufactured house. I mean, it was like, I mean, it's obvious the manufactured house should be less. I mean, it's less quality, it's less everything. Yeah, and somewhere in the middle of South Sioux. But I went through each one, and this one, I mean, I almost recommended to raise the value to the purchase price at $288,000, but because if she didn't protest, she would be at the $268,570. The best sale we have is 566 Gulf Road at $281,000, which was right at the same time she bought her house. It was a strange. She felt she has, like, her realtor kind of didn't do her justice during the process, and I don't know, there was a few things in the background that were a little unsettling to me, but not value-wise, just kind of, you know, her treatment of violators, but
So you got it at 268.
I called it 268. I think Christy called it 280 at the
I did purchase price.
So I'll just go with the 268. Sound good to you guys?
Yeah.
Because she wanted 202, and I said, well, how is that fair to the neighbors where you just raised your whole neighborhood?
Based on your sale.
And she's like, well, I need to get this right now. I didn't get it right when I bought it. And
none of her problem. Sounds like you aren't ready to purchase a home.
We got 78 is, this is 2 acres, a two-story home. It's 773 175th Street, Dakota City. Yeah, this one, I felt like it was slightly lower in condition, was kind of the issue here. And then, equalized when I recalculate the number, so it's still equalized at the new condition factor. When it was bought, you know, like 8 years ago, it was completely remodeled.
Yeah, it was like gotcha.
So that's why it was rated so high on the condition scale. I felt like after, you know, 6 or 8 years, it probably is not as good, and made a reduction. That's $299,915.
Give that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is 1137 Q Avenue, Ponca. 20 acres ranch, almost 15 million square feet, built in the 70s. He's got some grain bins. The bins aren't terribly valuable. But let's see. But he did give photos, so that's something. Did give some foundation. And then there's, behind the scenes here again, there's a a factor involved in this one that that Christy corrected, and I agreed with her to correct it to make it equal with the other
with the other acres.
Yeah. So between that, the local factor, and
condition of the band.
396,750. So I confer with Christy on this one.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Jerry Sponger, down by the river.
Down by the river. Very close to the river, as a matter of fact. This is 427 Dixon Path. He is, on the Missouri River, South Sioux City. It's a manufactured house that he, had to kind of raise up to get it there. It's an old landfill that he bought from the city. He claims that, every time he does any kind of dirt work or anything, he runs into old tires and water heaters and a bunch of junk, basically. He has sinkholes. And he did mention that manufactured homes are difficult to refinance. I totally agree with him on that. There are some local banks that do it, but I'm not saying it's the easiest thing in the world. But here, I just lowered his condition. He has 10 acres. I mean, it's a 10-acre parcel. It does have a basement. It does have the 3-car garage. He does have some other structures that are, not terribly valuable, but probably useful. I just lowered his condition from average to fair plus and recalculated the value to equalize it. It's 241,405.
Good.
And most of it, his land is it's over $100,000 just because he's on the river there. Yeah, and sticking with the manufactured home theme, we have a 1426 Lake Avenue. This is a manufactured home.
This is car lot. That's
this is. Oh. There's a mobile home on this car lot.
Yeah.
And it's not theirs.
Yeah.
So we told them they had to protest to get it out. It actually belongs to Hobiebrook.
Right.
So we took it off. Yeah. That's the only thing we took off. So we did lower it.
So the manufactured home is gone, or it's gone from this record.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's still in the same exact place, but it's
not on.
And that's why we need the survey, because it literally shows that it's on
their property.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's why we put it on there.
It shows it, because I looked at the aerial too, and it the manufactured house shows it on this parcel. But with the survey that we have before the split happened with between the two owners there. So
That's the only thing they're complaining about. They said the mobile home isn't there, so.
And it's true, and it's just a land value at
12,214.
Okay, number 82 is 1353 Nottoway Road. That's out there in Jackson on the river. This is that old A-frame house we've been working on for a couple of years. He does have no trespassing, so it's we don't have a current look at it, but he's done work. He has a current building permit. He removed the porch, that back porch, there's a screen porch that's gone.
On the back, yeah.
Yeah, Sheree, if you could just scroll down maybe one more. Let's see. It's on the other side. That's the roadside. Mm-hmm. There it is. Okay. So right now that is just, if you can imagine that top deck, that balcony deck is gone. Yep, that's gone. And then the screen area is gone. He said it was rotted away anyway, but it was being assessed because it was there. The only thing left is the there's a concrete slab on the bottom there, so we removed the deck and the screen porch, we added the concrete slab, and we removed the fireplace. He did submit photos. There's his photo. There it is. Yeah. So it is gone.
The only problem we have with this one is he has no trespassing signs, so we're not sure how we're going to pick up the permit, because we're doing everything by eagle view and it's hard to see through the trees because everything's in the trees. So
it doesn't need a lot of work.
Right, and so and it is gone at this point, so recalculating the value there, we just removed the fireplace, removed the porches, and then we added the
patio.
Yeah. So the equalized number there is 282,725.
Good.
This is Michael and Laura Miller. This is 1478 Bennett Avenue. Oh boy, yeah, I forgot about this one. A little over an acre, 1800 square foot house, 2-car garage, built in the 50s. It's just below the, it's near the.
It's by the pump station.
Pump station, thank you, yes, exactly. So,
yeah.
Condition is the factor here. He did submit some, he's showing like broken windows and some damaged siding, some damaged soffits, and the brick does need some tuck pointing. Nothing major, but I kind of felt like it did affect the value. As far as the roof is old, I do kind of agree with that one. It could use a new roof. It's got the old, 3-tap type shingles.
And the year built was wrong.
Year built was wrong. The other thing here is, you guys, this.
So you took it to 128,490.
Yeah, I felt, okay, this building.
I'm good with that.
Okay, yeah, the building got me. It would have been lower, but the building was so undervalued in this. That building that right building. There mm-hmm. was on the record, 90% depreciated.
This is 83, though, right?
When are we on? Yeah.
Yeah, we're 83, right?
Yep.
So it's
326.
Well, 326.
But right. you have it at 315. Or do you have?
Well, but we added before the building.
Yeah.
So
and we didn't have that until Sam.
I lowered the condition of the house, but then I raised the condition or the building 90% depreciated. I mean,
there's no way.
That is, probably in the market. That's a $50,000 building on the worst day of the year.
How big is it?
It is 56 by 40. And it is, it's a concrete floor. No, it is a pole building, so it's not, I'm not saying it's gold or anything here, but it was valued at $4,000. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. And 90% depreciated. So, at one point, the value of that structure was $40,000, and 90% depreciated is $400,000. A 56 by 40 anything, is almost worth it. We have carports in the area that were at the same number. And I guess this was a tough one for me. I lowered. Now, I'm sure you can make the argument that, hey, maybe we should have had the building right. And I totally get that. But I'm just giving you everything I had. I felt like this house was overvalued, and I felt that the building was undervalued. That's where my number comes from. If you wanted to see what the value is, if we left the building alone and picked it up for next year, all we'd have to do is subtract, $46,000. But.
So you got a $326,780 for the building, the house, and everything.
Yeah.
If making all those changes, lowering the house and then putting the building
adjusting
at.
The building.
Yeah.
I'd leave it alone.
Yeah, good.
He did provide a window estimate. He does say it's got like $40,000. I mean, he does have original windows. I agreed with him on the condition part. That was the thing. I totally, he's not lying. He's the legitimate condition complaint for that property, just the building. And then the next door property did has another large building. It did sell for $400,000 a couple of years ago, but the Rodriguez property.
Y'all good with it there. Okay, we got Tony Barnes.
84 Tony Barnes, yes. This has two houses on one parcel. That's the back house, if you will. And calling it a house is
kind of loosely.
Yeah, making it up a few notches. It has no utilities. It doesn't have a ceiling. The gas meter's gone. It's pretty rough. The front house is rented for $500 per month. That's the front house. It's not great either, but it does have a gas meter, as you can see there. But it's, again, it's kind of that rental. It's kind of, not the greatest, not the worst, but he's still renting it.
Smokes.
The other one's been vacant for years, apparently. He has the gas meter removed. basically reduce the...
That's where he stores his Christmas
some
stuff.
Some of it. Yeah, some of his rentals he does. We found that out, yeah. Like,
how much Christmas stuff do you need? But apparently...
have you seen his display?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
And there's more coming. He's got other stuff in other houses here, too. So, I mean, it is dated interior. You can tell, like, those cabinets and the porch. I mean, it is not, you know... But it's still a house, and if you and the there is a great potential to, you know, the back house if you were to fix it. But I mean, right now it's not worth a lot in the condition it's in. It's more of a shed, more of a storage facility.
And you got it at 68.
So we ended up this one. Okay, so it was assessed at 159 for both houses in the land. Mm-hmm. And then yeah, if you kind of remove the value of the. Reduce the value of the back house, and then the front. I'm sorry, yeah, 86 is for the front house. Mm-hmm. Then, yep, then 20,000, and then the land is 20,000. So that's the equalized assessment. I felt like it was fair to him and fair to his neighbors at 128,498.
Okay.
He did provide, yeah, provided pictures. So again, he. I agree with him on kind of all fronts again there. 85 is Mr. Barnes as well. 401 Fifth Avenue, South Sioux. He's got his tenant in the photos a few times here. It's built 1910. It is a 1,000 square foot rental home. 7 foot ceilings. It's got that old garage that's got the, you know, the not an overhead door. Got a partial basement, which is correct on that. And he's he's showing this short ceiling is what the picture looks a little silly, but he's showing that his tenant is
actually 7 feet tall.
Right, yeah. When I do those, I usually use a tape measure just so every person in there. But the basement's kind of rough. See, those blocks kind of scare me as far as condition goes. If I was working for the bank here, I would have the same concern. I'd be like, wow, that's making me a little nervous as far as...
Got an old shelf-ledge basement in it.
And some jacks.
And some settling, yeah. And some old doors are down there. But it made me a little nervous. But so basically, the condition of the garage and condition of the basement was my...
So you took her down to 117.
He's still renting it though, so that gets, yeah. Every time it gets me like they're rough, but they're still getting money in it.
Yep. Yeah, I'm good.
Mr. Barnes, it's 86 again, 401 Fifth Avenue. This is a bungalow, 748 square feet, one car garage, floor furnace, pretty archaic there. There's the garage. Yeah, he's using this. Yeah,
a
bunch of engines. Yeah. I think there's Christmas stuff in this
is
one.
Is the
too.
Other?
Yeah,
chair in the tub.
Yeah. He's not renting it. He's
not renting this one. No, it's been vacant for a few years. Using it as storage, he felt like, you know, having this house was cheaper than renting storage space, which it might be. he's a neat guy. He was fun to talk to actually, but. But there is damage to the siding and to the roof, on the real estate side of things. He did submit photos here. Those are
probably would red tag it if the city got it.
Yes.
There's a few of these that would be red tag that we have talked about today.
I think you're all right at 68.
Yep.
Number 87. This is David Muff, 418 Rotunda Way, South Sioux. It's a ranch built 2 years ago, 2,000 square feet back to the lake. Basically, he hasn't done anything to it since he built it. The water's low, so he doesn't get to use the water, was kind of his argument. And then he talked about the market. There's lots of sales in Rotunda right now relative to the price point. And the he said it took longer for them to sell, which I do agree. We're seeing the market times increase on these higher dollar homes. Commissioner Giese's house was on the market for a year, just about it's three doors down from this house. And then there was one across the street that sold. It's 419 Rotunda Way. sold for $515,000. It did take a long time to sell, but it still did sell for $515,000. Then Bob's house, it's 101 North Shore Drive, that sold for $509,000. And then 115 Rotunda Way sold for $510,000. All of those are under, I mean, the assessments are all below those numbers. There's nothing that is close to that. Even though it took longer to sell, they still did sell. They still do have it. It was a transaction. It happened. I felt like the house across the street, especially that 149 Rotunda Way, it sold for $510,000. It doesn't back to the lake. It's a few years older and it's smaller. I felt like the lake was still worth something and the size was worth something and the slightly better condition. I didn't see any movement there. I felt like the market appreciated since he bought it. And I think he bought the lot really good too, because the other thing, he kind of bought it but then the market's increasing now, so that's the difference in his, you know, what he built it for versus now.
I'm good.
Yep.
Okay, number 88, or did we do 88?
Nope, mm-hmm. Sorry, no.
Okay, 88. That one's, that's...
91.
Let's see. I think that's...
Oh, sorry.
You're one. There you go. Yeah.
This is 103 Rotunda Way. This is Salzgerer's old house. It's Todd and Alyssa Arndt. 2,200 square feet. It was built in 2011. Giant garage, finished basement. Kind of dated on the inside. Not a lot of updates, even though the owner does work in construction, but that does happen. He gave some comparables and gave some photos. The sales are just kind of ridiculous out there. I felt just a little bit of a reduction in condition here was warranted. It's just...
It's a little bit of a funny layout, too.
And the garage is so big that it's kind of... it's not kind of accounted for in a lot of the other sales.
Nobody has a garage.
They did give comparables, but, again, no one has a garage that big. So I did reduce it a little... 53,700 was my number because I reduced the condition from good to average plus, then recalculated the value of equalized at 53,700.
Okay.
Yep.
Number 89 is 608 East 18th Street. It's a ranch built in 1971, 1,300 square feet. It's a one-car attached garage. Yeah, this one, an LLC filed a protest for the owner. Showed some deferred maintenance. They gave a few sales. It was on MLS.
Are they doing a reverse mortgage or something?
No, they bought it. Islander bought it.
Oh, did they?
And then now they sold it again.
Mm.
Oh, yes.
So what was the sale price then?
Not a good sale. We wouldn't count.
No, not when it's sale. Not when it's a flipper. Mm-hmm. We don't count as good sales.
It was listed at 225. Then it got lowered down to 209.
Did it sell for 209 now?
The new sale? I don't remember. We got it last Friday.
Is this a different one?
Isn't this the one Scott wants to buy?
No.
I don't know.
No.
It's not?
Mm-mm. Nope, this is a different one.
No, you backed it down to 222,390.
This is the one Scott
wants. I'm good with that.
No, this is really old.
We're good with that.
Yep.
You did?
Mm-hmm. Home Springs Group.
Yeah, because he said house was listed on MLS. Yeah,
oh, is it?
Number 90 is Abraham Cora. Gloria. 415 West 17th Street, South Sioux City. The nicest house, not on the river, on the west side.
Yes.
This one, built in 2019, it's 2,100 square feet. It's a beautiful home. It belongs in Rotunda, to be honest. Christy and Melissa have reduced this one 5% due to location before the protest. That's how they assessed it. They hired a company to protest for them. They gave a few comparables that were not comparables, is all I can say. It wasn't quite as bad as the CMA from earlier, but it was pretty bad. Not comparable. These companies, what they do is they get like a percent of the money that they
say.
Anyhow, it was a spreadsheet. It wasn't very well done. They gave me nothing that said it wasn't worth.
I mean, 486.
486, right.
Yeah.
Last one is number, I don't even know, 91. It's a fourplex that Todd Dean Barnes has. Josh went out. He went through and looked at comparables, and he said we're fine at 308-620.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Board has set values on all protests filed. The findings of assessors are discussed meeting held on June 22nd, July 6th, and July 20th, 2020, 2026. So we need to do those first, though, those other ones?
We do them all at the same time.
Well, we have these three here. We need to do those now.
Yeah.
Will those be different or not?
They're not protesters. They're just part of ours.
So you guys have reviewed 1 through 91. You need to approve what you guys have.
All right, I make motion to approve the values that we reviewed, 1 through 91.
I'll second it.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Approval of previous minutes, July 6, 2026.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Christy requesting approval of plan of assessment for Dakota County for years 2027, 28, and 29.
3 year plan.
So move to approve.
Yeah, no changes.
Just typical review stuff.
Yep. Yeah.
So Rick moved.
Yeah.
Do a second.
Will you guys want a second?
I will.
I thought you did too.
All right. Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes. Christy's requesting approval to sign an engagement letter for commercial appraisal service of Southern Ethanol LLC plant with Hubert Appraisal Group?
Yeah, he's going to come do the appraisal on the ethanol plant. He can come out before 27 values get set, so we can get the new addition at the ethanol plant put in.
So what did they charge to do something like that?
$18,500. It would be nice if on ethanol plants that they went to some sort of
statewide,
yeah, tax, just like the solar, the renewable energy type stuff,
or
bushels, or
that's what they're pushing. And everyone uses our ethanol plant as a
solar. So it's
water.
like the airport.
Yeah.
Well, they're doing a large expansion out there. If you go out there, it's pretty cool.
And we talked to
him. I talked to him, and he said that, well, I would guess we'd have it done before harvest.
So they're pretty
close. So Tom said he'd get out there and get it done before we set value.
All right.
I'd move to approve the.
Can you zoom down a little bit?
Yeah. Sometimes he does.
There's a handful of people in the country.
The estimated cost for the golf course last year came in lower.
It was 18, and he only charges 13. Yeah. So if it isn't what he says, he does.
I would imagine that Nick Bodish out there will just hand him the paperwork. You know,
I think we've been out there before.
Yeah.
Yeah, prove what's the values and stuff.
Who's the other guy around?
Really don't have nothing to hide. It is what it is.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
Well, I'm sure you guys get the letter too. Their thing. I mean, what were they touting for the expansion? How many dollars? Million dollars?
Oh,
expansion. So.
All right.
I move to approve the sign of the letter of engagement.
I'll second.
I thought we were done with that.
Jeff?
Yes.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes. Meeting on time, so I don't know.
Yeah, you're right.
Christy requesting approval of over under value home collector or moderator tax correction errors.
Yeah. We have three.
Right.
And as long as we get them done before the 25th, we can still do
it. And that's these three.
Those three. Yep.
We're going to do them now.
Yep.
I was called about this one.
Which one?
The first one.
Yeah, we kind of messed that one up a little bit.
So you're going to take it down to 494, 900?
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Yep.
Cool. It was our error.
And then you got the
Hamer. And then Claire Hamer and Vera, his son came in, Jamie, I think his name is.
Yeah.
And we had two pieces of ground they were considering commercial, and I'm not quite sure why. So he didn't protest it because he was a day late, so we figured we could do this for him. It's clearly not commercial.
No,
it's more in their little pieces. So I thought, you know what, that's fair.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you need any motion on that too, then?
I'll make a motion to do the corrections on the clerical or admitted tax list corrections errors.
I'll say it.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
And two tax list corrections.
Yeah, this is the Turk settlement we did with Villas at Crystal Court, which is our error. So this just is the correction that we agreed upon, which isn't horrible.
Okay.
The math is super complex.
It's ridiculous. I was using a wrong year. My bad.
It's a very complex formula, and then it's a three-year.
It's a three-year average.
Average of that complex formula, yeah. For each year.
Math.
Yeah. Who needs it?
Not us.
I hated
math in
school.
Do we need to make a motion on that too?
No, this is already agreed.
Okay. Yeah. Mail emergency business. Public comment? Anybody?
Keep it down.
Make a motion adjourn.
Second.
We're going to call the Board of Commissioners to order. We're going to stand, say the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a current copy of the Open Meetings Act posted on the wall back there for everybody in attendance to see. Sheree, do you want to call roll, please?
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Rogelio?
Present.
Brian?
Present.
Make a motion. No, go ahead.
I make motion to excuse Commissioner Owenstein.
Second.
Got it. Motion by Jeff Reed and a second by Brian Van Brickham to excuse Marty for being on vacation.
We're not going to excuse him.
Jeff?
Yes.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Okay.
Public comment.
Public comment. Anybody here that wants to make any comments on anything that's not on the agenda? We don't look like we're going to have any of that. So we're going to move on to consent agenda items. A through G, through claims and payroll. Everything looked like it was in order. So I think we're good to go there. On the consent agenda items.
Make motion to approve consent agenda items A through G.
Second. A motion by Brian, a second by Jeff. Consent agenda items approval.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Okay, new business. Chad Kurt, you're up.
All right.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm Chad Kurt with Beanstra and Kim. And here to talk about North Bluff Road. A little history on North Bluff Road. It's actually between Highway 20 and Highway 35. It's paved in 2002. It's about 3.75 miles long. It's a little over 8 inches thick, and it's not quite 22 feet wide with 4-foot granular shoulders. When that road was designed, the average daily traffic count was 230 vehicles per day. And it was designed, had a 20-year design with anticipated traffic of 330 vehicles per day. Both of those would be 15% of that would be truck traffic. We did some panel repairs in 2021, about $62,500. We did more panel repairs in 2022. We're about $190,000. And some more panel repair in 2024, about $78,600. And total square yards repaired there were about 2,100 square yards. So we've replaced about 10% of the panels that are out there. Today's traffic, well, if anybody's been out there or ridden on it, it's falling apart. And the joints are starting to fail. That's why the panels are failing. Today's traffic, or based on 2025 traffic counts by the DOT, there's about 1,100 vehicles per day out there. And I'm guessing the truck traffic is probably closer to 50% than it is 15%. So the road that's there just wasn't designed to handle the traffic that it's getting today. Mm-hmm. We've looked at doing a couple of different things. They've patched some panels out there now. But Jolene asked, you know, what could we do out there to replace? We could continue to patch. I think that's a Band-Aid. If we were just to continue to patch, we're probably looking at the end of it somewhere $3 million or a little more by the time we're all done. And that's going to happen faster because they're going to start deteriorating faster than they have been in the past. Another option we looked at was we could do a 6-inch, well, we would do a crack and seat, which means we would take the pavement that's out there, bust it up into little chunks, leave it there, and asphalt overlay over the top of it. We actually have had an asphalt industry person come look at it, and he thought that would be a reasonable option. There we're looking at somewhere between $2.5 to $3.5 million to do, but that's only half. Julian asked that we look at 170th Street to Highway 20. That's the worst part right now. When it was originally paved, there was two projects that were bid out at the same time. Why the north one is acting different than the south one, I don't know. But the south portion doesn't seem to be breaking up as bad. But I think it will eventually. So you're looking at $2.5 to $3.5 million to do that north, probably a little more than half. And probably the third option would be to completely tear it out and replace it. with concrete probably, and there we're looking at $6 to $7 million for the north half. Either of those last two, the overlay or the pavement, we probably would widen that out to a 24-foot section with 2-foot shoulders on either side. That way we wouldn't really have to be getting into the ditches or anything. That's kind of what the options I think we're looking at.
Chad, did you come up with a price just to do the whole thing at once?
I'm guessing. I did not. But we could. I mean, we're looking at probably. What do we? It's just a little over half. So you're probably looking at $5 million to do the whole thing.
So $11 million to do the whole project.
$5 million to do the whole everything. I mean, so from 170th to Highway 20 is about 1.8 miles, and we're 3.7, so you're a little over 2 more miles. So yeah, you're probably looking at $7 million by the time we're all said and done.
So even go ahead. I was just gonna say, even if we did like the crack and then the asphalt over it, there's still some underlying drainage and water issues are in there.
So that would include, when we would also put what we call longitudinal subdrains. We'd put subdrain down both sides with outlets. The original plan had some of that in there. When you come over the railroad tracks and just crest that hill, right at the bottom of the hill, they did put some subdrain in there. But I've not seen it. I've not seen any outlets or anything when we've walked around down there. But I'm assuming that it's there somewhere. But yeah, we would put subdrain and outlets on both sides and try to get the water out from underneath the pavement. Another thing, and I didn't price it because it's something that was just brought up recently. When we crack and seat that, so at the joints, there's voids underneath there. That's why they're starting to break. My thought was when we crack and seat it, it'll push everything down to the same level. But my fear is there's going to be a little bit of, at each joint, that's going to be a little bit lower. So I thought, it's been a suggestion, maybe we put like a, they call it a rock interlayer, and it's a smaller rock, and you just lay an inch or so, maybe two, over top of that broken concrete, and then lay the asphalt on top. So that maybe would fill some of those low points. But that's something we could look into a little more as we get into that.
How thick would the asphalt be then?
6 inches. Because we'd have the 8 inches of pavement underneath, and then 6 inches of pavement on top of that, so we'd really have a total of 14. But
I just look at it like this. The growth that we're having at the ethanol plant, and that's heavily traveled by trucks coming from Wayne, Norfolk, everywhere. I would rather see it concrete done right and done. Because we're looking at this asphalt. I don't know what the longevity of it is, but what they predict it could be, but I know it isn't going to be as long as concrete.
Mm-hmm. Right. It doesn't have the life expectancy. It's probably, I don't know that I would say half, but it's not the same. What they do say about, you know, again, if you listen to the asphalt industry, they're going to tell you, we can pave it, and then in 20 years when it's starting to fatigue and show its life, you mill off 2 inches, you put 2 inches back down, and it's, you know, then you're back to the original road that you had. There's some cost to that, you know, if you ran a life expectancy cost. Your asphalt and concrete are probably going to be a little bit closer than today's prices. Today's prices, asphalt's going to be cheaper over the life of everything. They're going to obviously move closer. So,
well, that's the way I'd lean for putting the shoulders on it, and the concrete and stuff like that. And I think probably we need to do the whole road because the traffic isn't going to get any less.
Right. Yeah. Over time, it's all going to fail. It just wasn't designed for the traffic that it's getting today.
Right. And that's something we can find out. So we just got to get the bonding lined up to get them on. But there's probably, what, 5 or 6 panels out there. I drove back that way. There's 10.
I counted 10 the other day.
That are in bad shape. I mean, to the point where when you hit them.
Yeah.
So.
I took some pictures, too, if anybody wants to see them. I've got some here. If you haven't seen them. But there's some that are a couple 2 inches.
So what's the board, what do we want to do, see what we can get for bonding and have Chad get us some more concrete figures on doing the paving in the shoulders like he talked, and then we come back?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it doesn't hurt to get figures on it. And are there any more grants out there that were identified that
we
could possibly be used?
We tried for the one and did not have any luck on it. So the NDOT is aware of what we're trying to do, so as them come up, they notify me, so I haven't heard anything lately.
So we just need to figure out what direction we want to go. So
get some numbers.
You want to work us up some numbers? Yep. Get with Jolene and work us up some numbers on doing paving.
Yep, we can do that.
And
if we needed concrete, we did it all concrete. How long? What's the amount of vehicles that we need?
Well, we would design it. It's probably going to be much thicker pavement.
Right.
We usually, I think they. We would say we're going to design it for probably a 50-year pavement. Could it be longer than that? It might be.
Right.
Depending on how the traffic.
Right.
And the maintenance that's done on it, too. I mean, over time.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks, Chad.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll move on to item B, board to review and approve interlocal agreement for adult detention with Thurston County, changing daily fee for boarding prisoners from $60 to $70. Who do we have on that? Do we have anybody from the jail to take care of that? Come on up.
I mean, that makes sense.
Go ahead.
I know right now, I don't know that we have any people there right now, but we were boarding them out a little bit. Our numbers are down right now. That's all I have with that. I think we have about 10 people there last month, but I don't think we have any more people there anymore.
Okay.
But that would make sense. That's going from, because I'm sure it's been $60 for how long?
A long time.
10 years.
Yeah,
right.
Probably.
And
still cheaper
$10 more bucks.
Some of them are months.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a bad fee.
I'll make a motion to approve it if we have to.
Okay, we got motion by Brian. Second by Jeff?
Yes.
I'll call roll three.
I didn't mean to go there.
Brian?
Yes.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Okay.
Good.
So then we're going to move on to item C, Sheriff's Office to present distress warrant report showing the total amount of collected on current distress warrants and the amount remaining uncollected, $77,179.01, the board to approve and report, authorize the assessor to remove from the property tax rolls and paid and said properties recommended on the sheriff's distress warrants reports and stricken and deleted by correction. Randy.
Okay, basically on the 30th of October last year, we got 58 distress warrants from the treasurer's office totaling $14,361.91 of unpaid taxes. We have satisfied all 58 of them without having a sale or having to have any deleted because they're junk. We've got rid of most of that. We collected a total between the two offices of $15,490.70, which includes $955.84 in additional interest. Everything is satisfied up before the sale date.
That's pretty good.
Good
job. It only cost us 2 weeks to advertise before they got the idea that we were serious.
No. I think that's fantastic, actually.
Yeah, good deal.
Make motion approve.
You got a motion by Brian to approve?
Second.
Second by Jeff. Call roll, please.
Rick?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Rogelio?
Yes.
Brian?
Yes.
Okay, move on to item four, old business miscellaneous. Jolene, Highway Superintendent report.
Hello.
Hello.
I just talked to Chad. He's going to reach out to Simcoe to see if they know of anything that could help us on that road. So.
We don't have much with them.
Yeah, well, and then you sit on some of them boards, don't you?
We don't really do much with them, so.
Like I said, it'd be nice.
They can help.
And he thought maybe an economic development standpoint because of the ethanol plant might help us. I don't know. So he's going to reach out to his contacts there.
Cool. Good idea.
Sounds good.
We had just under 280 hours of maintaining, 2 hours trimming back some trees out in front of some signs, 3 hours on bridge maintenance. We had 183.25 hours on some road projects out on Perry Avenue, 240th O Avenue, and T Avenue. 8 hours patching, that was on North Bluff Road. 8.5 hours on the magnet, 97.5 hours hauling in gravel. We hauled 110.86 a 1-inch rock out on the road, and we hauled in about 750 ton of rock and gravel into the yard. 24 hours of weed spraying, 12 hours on signs, and then a few requests for grading out on the roads. Any questions? Perfect. Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks, Julie.
She don't wait around long. She's gone.
Okay, quarterly jail report.
Thank you, sir.
You. There you are.
All right, thank you.
So, towards the end of the year, our spending did go up. We were able, with the cuts that we made throughout the year, we were able to get some new improvements. We got the sealant on the back parking lot there. We got new water softener, radio, tasers, laptops. We got body-worn cameras now in the jail that we're going to start implementing. Currency counter, drone, thermal cameras. We got the live scan fingerprint scanner. 4 new handguns, ballistic plates, and a thermal label maker. So just some of the things that we were able to do with the money that we saved over the year.
Got any questions for him or anything?
It's a thermal label maker.
It's just a fancy little thing for labels for like when we mail out evidence and stuff.
Cool. You're going to probably show us a bunch of that stuff today. We go over there.
Well, some of it's still in the process of coming. Oh. So.
Hasn't been delivered yet.
No, not yet. Still waiting.
Okay. Well, we need to adjourn from this and go over to the jail.
Yeah, if you want to finish the rest of it first.
Yeah, okay. Do you want to go through the commissioner's committee reports? Anybody have anything?
I'm going to meet with the Teamsters for the contract for the sheriffs and the jail this Thursday. Marty and I met with, had an initial meeting with the City of South Sioux on the LEC contract, started going through that. They're going to do some red line markups and stuff of the contract. A lot of it is just to mimic what the actual business, the procedures today is, and then we're going to, you know, see about changing the price a little bit, maybe, so, because we don't use much of that building.
No, we don't. have any office space over there at all, I don't believe.
Deanna's there, and then, of course, you know,
victim assistance.
911.
And mm-hmm. victim assistance.
Yep.
Victim assistance is the city.
Is actually under a grant for the city, so, I mean, we pay for part of it.
Yeah, because we do pay for some of it.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. but that, like I said, it's a split, so it's right. not really large.
And then that's about it on that side.
They still have a little bit of evidence.
Yeah, not
over there. That
not much.
They're supposed to be getting out. They've been working on getting out of there for some time. But yeah.
Okay. Anybody else?
You should be getting a link to a toolkit for zoning regulations that we've been working on with that planning and zoning stuff. So it's like a 97-page document that we went through. There's some case studies in there. They wanted to include a lot of counties. They didn't include Dakota County, so I was a little frustrated because we have some of the better regulations, according to a lot of these folks. So I had a couple of conversations with them last week with NACO, and it sounds like they're going to try to figure out a way to incorporate some of what we did here for the solar project into the land use toolkit. So they didn't have any case studies on successful ones. They just had counties that had like completely bypassed or created some big moratoriums or unreasonable setbacks so that projects couldn't come in. And then I did have a conversation with Northeast Nebraska Public Power District last week about that email that we got, that notice, and they said that if you're willing to come talk to us about like that project, it's nothing crazy. It's just, it looked a little bit more hostile than it actually meant to be. I talked to the guy over at Northeast, at Nebraska Omaha Public Power District, Dustin Marble, who was here for our hearings for solar and stuff, and he's like, yeah, it's like nothing crazy. He goes, it just seemed like overkill on the notice because it came from like a legal entity. But I did talk to them, and they said they'd be willing to come talk to us about it if we needed them to.
They do have a test station set up for the solar out there now, too.
Yeah. Yep.
So they're talking 28, they're going to start building it. That's what the guy kind of told me.
If everything goes
according to plan.
Yeah. Okay. Tomorrow night we have P&Z meeting up at the county shed at 7. If anybody wants to come to that. Any mail or emergency business?
I put in your packets and emailed it to you. Lori Warner is doing a ribbon cutting in Rohelia.
It's at 10 o'clock again. They moved it back to 10
a.m.
Oh,
they did? Yeah. Oh, I didn't get that.
Yeah.
It's at 10.
Yeah, they updated my calendar invitation like 4 times. Because it went from 10 to 10:30 to 11.
Anybody wants to go?
Where's that at?
Salvation Army.
Oh, okay.
Western Plains Camp is what it's called now.
Yeah.
Raheli is going to be our spokesperson.
That's what I'm told, I guess.
Yeah. Nice of you.
Thank you.
And the other thing I stuck in there, too, is we received a letter addressed to the commissioners regarding the weed department not being certified as a commercial applicator. And I gave you all a copy of that, too. And I don't know, he was testing, I think, right, Jolene?
Yeah, he went last week, and it'll be another week or two before he gets his results.
It's not an easy test. It's not. So
I suppose he doesn't pass, we'll have to figure out a week.
Try to do it again. He himself can be in the weed department. And Jolene could go and take the test. And he could spray under her. Because I had it, and Robert had it. So now my brother's the only one that has it, and I can spray under him. So that's nothing if he doesn't pass the test.
Dean's already got his application license.
Oh, well, there you go. He can spray. So all he has to do is some paperwork, and he can spray under Dean. Dean can be the one that has it.
But do you have the roadway?
No, I used to have right away, but I'd have to go back and get it. But
yeah.
Is that, I think, I'd have to check, but with right away, you can do it for 1 year, I think. Agriculture, you can do it any time. I think right away is you got to do it 1 year. You can go
under. 1 year?
Yeah. But I also got told county and state are all different.
Yeah.
So we'd have to ask them.
But that's an option, you know, we could use. And then, actually, if was Brandon Miller, right? If Dean wanted to, you know, it gets monotonous spraying weeds all the time doing that. And if Dean wanted to float Brandon into an operator's position. He could do that and then have one of the other guys maybe do the weeds for a little bit, maybe do a little variety for them and get them out and about. It's not...
I don't know how the weed board or the state weed superintendent... They like to have, like...
Because you have to have a need.
One guy.
Yeah.
Weed superintendent.
And there's a lot of people who fall for you better than that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, well,
we're going to jail.
We're going to jail.